The last time I was here, I remember mentioning that I like chili. And by the evening, I had several, little buckets of chili. And so I decided, well, all right, I'll tell everybody I like $100 bills. And by the next session, nothing happened. Relationships are really amazing. When David spoke this morning and he mentioned Jupiter to Cuesta, I just laughed because I remember. But I also remember when a group from right here came down to Trinidad. And those relationships have lasted all these years. Not only because, we are good people and, David likes us, me. But more so because of Christ. The relationships that we share because of Christ really transcends any imaginable boundary that you could create. I have keys for a house on the island of Bermuda. And there are brethren there who said, Dominic, anytime you come by, just come straight to the house and just come right on in. Their keys for that house. They say, just walk to the refrigerator, take what you want, choose a room, and that's yours. The last time, my wife and I and son, we were carrying Paul to Vero Beach. And we passed through here. We spent a night with Dan Jenkins and his dear wife. And their house was our house. I ate his food. I slept in their bed because of relationships. So anytime any of you pass by through Trinidad, don't hesitate to call, because our home will be your home because of relationships. And so Paul in the book of Romans identifies a relationship. What kind of relationship would that be for a man to introduce himself as a slave? To introduce himself as a bond servant? Do we do that? I made sure that I sent a beautiful profile for David so that he could put out this profile there. We call it a biography. And, he could read all of, the accolades and all that kind of stuff. I heard nothing. Maybe I didn't pay him enough. But to introduce yourself as a slave, what kind of thinking would that be? A slave that normally has a price attached to his head. A slave that has no provision. He has nothing to get. He has no fixed place of abode. He has no real position in society. So for Paul to introduce himself as a slave of Jesus Christ, it leans on the relationship. But that relationship is so significant. He emphasized in verse 2, he says, which he promised through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. So there is a source where we could find that relationship. I'm amazed. There are those who would like to suggest to us that the Scriptures are not important. In fact, the new hermeneutic is leaning on the concept that this is outdated and we need to modernize it. And try to build the same relationship without the Word of God. How sad. Because the relationship is bound up in the Scripture. Paul will emphasize that a little later on. He says in verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why, Paul? For it is the power of God unto salvation. You see, the relationship is not some kind of frivolous thing that you wake up in the morning and, it happens. It is based on the stability of the Word of God that God has spoken and shared His thoughts and His ideas and His ideals. So that Paul says in verse Number 17, for therein, or in it, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We cannot separate that relationship from his word, and we cannot separate his word from his spirit, and we cannot separate his spirit from the church. So the relationship is what really matters. So then we come around to the core of the relationship in verse number 3. Here's how Paul puts this. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. Can you notice two amazing relationships? He says, firstly, concerning his son. A relationship that says Jesus actually is the Son of God. A divine relationship. One that is based on the fact that he is divine. What? That sounds like, you know, it's a little strange. But turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 1. And we get some clarification. Because we're using divine and divine in the same sentence, and it just don't make sense. I'm glad that Keith left. He would have picked me up on this already. I love Keith. But he says in verse number 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Wait a minute. Remember Paul said that this was based on the scriptures? Well, holy men of God, as they spake, they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And that same movement is what caused us to have the word of God that identifies the relationship. But he adds to it. He says, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. You see, the relationship concerning this Jesus, he is his son. What an amazing consideration for us to take today. Turn with me to John chapter number 5. Turn with me to John chapter number 5. Here Jesus emphasizes something from about verse number 16. And you will see the reason why they would like to destroy his son. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. Well, what did he do? He healed a man. And they could not deny it. But Jesus answered them and said, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Oh, you know, that sounds like it's an all right little statement. You know, my dad is working, and, you know, therefore I am working. But now, when we read the next verse, we get a clarification of what is being said. Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to do what? To kill him. Why? Because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Wow! You see, for the Jew, he understood that a father and a son had a connection that makes them one. I'm amazed that this world would like to take that relationship and destroy it. How are they doing that? Well, they are saying to us that that relationship is not real, that Jesus was some kind of created being. He is not God with us. He is some other created being. He's a lesser God. So there are those who are just walking around, who have taken John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and slip a little A inside there, that the Word was a God. How sad. You see, to adjust that means that you must adjust everything else If your hermeneutic is wrong, David, if your hermeneutic is wrong, then everything else falls apart. I'm so glad that we could read the scripture and understand the simplicity and the sweetness of what God has actually commanded. Now, if I deny that Jesus is the Son of God, I also deny that God is God. What a mess that would be. How sad. Oh, the relationship doesn't stop there, does it? Go with me to 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter 3, and let's look at verse number 1. The scripture says, behold, what manner of love, I told you it was a relationship. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Listen, what a privilege that we could be sons of God, that we could be children of God. And there are many who are walking around thinking that they are the children of God when they really belong to somebody else. In Trinidad, there's an old, well, have you ever heard the word calypso? Ever heard that word before, calypso? Calypso is a local twist of music and singing that the slaves used in order to communicate. And so the masters, you know, often would not know what they are talking about when they sang songs. And so the origin of the calypso in the Caribbean and more so Trinidad, you know, set that tone in place. And so there are songs that they would sing, you know, and pass information on. But there's one calypsonian who says, and this by no means be offensive to any race or anything like that, but he is saying, the Chinese children or Chinese children are calling me daddy. Now on the surface, it sounds like, what does that mean? But the guy in the song, he was actually saying that I am a black man. No offense to anyone. I'm a black man. My wife is also a black woman. But we have offspring that does not resemble any of us. Well, we understand what that means. We understand that when a child resembles the parent, that is biological. But when the child resembles the neighbor, that's environmental. You know somewhere along the line that some kind of ungodly relationship exists. Guess what? There are those who would like to call themselves Christian, but they have no image of the Father. They have no bearing of the Son. They have no connection with the Spirit, and they're all holy. If we do not resemble the Father and conform to his image, believe you me, we are none of his. What a privilege it is to be just a Christian. I'm so glad to be able to come this far north and find people who are my brothers and sisters in Christ because we share a common Father. What a joy that will be to know that one of these days we leave the confines of this earth and we'll be able to be engulfed in the cloud and to rise up to meet the Lord in the air. Let's remain faithful as the children of God. The relationship, here's a son. God is still looking for sons. Will you be one of them? But go back with me to Romans chapter number 1. Paul tells us concerning his son. He then adds so beautifully for us to appreciate. He says, our Lord. Wow. You see, he takes first the divine relationship and then he focuses on the human relationship. He is his son, but he is our Lord. Wow. That's amazing to me. that his son could become my Lord. The word Lord really means master. In other words, he is able to take my life and build a relationship with me. Go with me to John chapter number 1 again. John chapter number 1. Notice with me verse number 41. The scripture speaks about Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, and he found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated Christ. Yes, he is our Lord. What is it that happened in this setting? That one man found the Lord and carried his brother to find the Lord. You know, if we continue to do that in this world, we would have many more brothers and sisters. We would share more with many others. And so evangelism is not some kind of, you know, program of the church. It is the way of life for the church. And so I want to encourage us, because you see, this his son has become our Lord. Turn with me to John chapter number 20. And look at verse number 28. John 20 and verse 28. Here the scripture outlines this a little clearer for us to hold on to. Thomas was absent from verse number 24. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. You know, this reminds me very much about Judas. Judas was absent when a lot was happening. He was absent. The scripture says that when he walked away, it was night. I really like that concept, because he was stepping away from the presence of the light and he was walking into darkness. Thomas was absent as well. And so now the other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and behold, in the midst, he said, "Peace to you." Now, I don't know about you, but if I was there, I would then be absent. Because the doors are now closed and it didn't have two ushers like we have two ushers standing at the door. He just turns up inside there. Would you stay? I'm not too sure. But here's what happens. Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands. And reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." Then Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." You see, his son now became Thomas's Lord. So Jesus, who is the Son of God, has that capacity to build a relationship with you and with me. And when I really think about it, It amazes me that David would sit down and then write and say, "Well, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you would even take care of him? You would visit him. You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor. You set him over the works of your hands." What in the world is this? Is this human? Who is this person? Who is this animal that God has placed upon the face of the earth? And there are those who simply say that the human is just like any other animal. Well, I came by to tell you, he's not. He has tremendous capacity for relationship. And it is true that that relationship develops the more we react, the more we interact with each other. Biologists and scientists are now realizing that relationships are amazing brain food. How? that connections on the outside with other people build neural connections on the inside of the brain. Wow! This is God's design. In other words, when I come to you and I make contact, hi, and our fingers connect, our hands connect, she already knows that this is a good handshake. So what does she do? She smiles, and our eyes meet, and I say, hi, how are you? My name is Dominic, and your name is?
Jamie.
But what if I meet Jamie? This time, Jamie, I want you to shake my hand, and I'll give you my hand again. How about now? You didn't see what she did. She looked at me a little differently because the handshake was a little different. The first handshake, let's just try him. The first handshake was nice and firm. He's a good young man. Woo! You could feel some strength in there. But the second handshake was, you saw? So scientists are now realizing that as long as we connect with each other, connections on the outside of us build connections on the inside of the brain. Neural connections. This is God's design. So when he said it was not good for man to be alone, he was not only talking about the marital relationship. In other words, we need each other. So he's our Lord. And when he becomes our Lord, there's nothing in this world that we can't handle together. Amen. Wow. How am I to do this? How am I to make this connection? God says, I want you to seek my face. I want you to connect with me. I want you to look into my word and you see me. You see all the righteousness being revealed. That is why I said earlier on, we cannot do away with God's word. We have to depend on God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Paul writes to the brethren in verse number 9. He says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Can you see that Paul brings together a divine relationship with a human relationship, put the two together, create a bond that is amazing. That is why Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10 tells us that God is seeking. He is searching. His desire, his passion, his burning obsession is to have many sons in glory. Wow. So then, 2 Peter chapter number 1. Would you go there with me? 2 Peter chapter number 1. Peter writes, from verse number 1, Simon Peter, a bondservant. Hold on. Another slave? Yes. A bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained, he says, a likewise and precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. But he adds, as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through what? Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Take your time now. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. What is
Peter saying? He is saying that while we have this divine, or we have this human nature, we have the capacity to put on a divine nature. While I am in this human flesh, I also have the capacity to build a relationship with this all-wise and beautiful God. While I am Dominic Paul Dos Santos, I have a chance to be called by God Christian. I have an opportunity by the simplicity of his word to build a relationship with him who said, "Let there be light." That is the God who had no idea, no concept of time, who was able to raise the sun freely and put it down and to do whatever his will loves to do. And he steps into humanity. He escapes his own divine nature. No idea of what 5 o'clock is. And he steps into our limited space and give us an opportunity to step into his. What an amazing privilege it is to be a Christian. So the time came. Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick and he waited 2 days. I'm amazed. David mentioned that we need to be praying for some brethren because there are some that are sick. Would we wait 2 days? Jesus did. He waited 2 days, and you could hear Martha and Mary as they see him coming down the road. And Martha said, "You know, if you were here, he would not have died." He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. That even though you were dead, yet shall you live." You see, we are able to step into his domain when we are obedient to his word. So Paul adds to that relationship that though he is his son, he becomes our Lord. And when we make him our Lord and our master and our Messiah, he's able to take us out. Now there's this amazing thing about God. He's not limited by our Timex and our, you know, whatever other kind of watches we have. He has nothing to do with that. He is able to walk across here in your past and to deal with things that could give you a more pleasant presence. Can you imagine that all the sins that you've ever committed in the past can be washed away? You become a brand new person when you submit yourself to the will and purpose of God. So significant that is that Paul says that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is connected to my obedience through baptism. That is why it's very silly and intellectual deprived to suggest that baptism has no place in all salvation. It is silly. And in this amazing evangelistic circus that exists, many clowns are preaching that foolishness. Baptism is at the core of this relationship. But God is able to leave our past and walk straight into our present and make it absolutely beautiful, so that even this minute he gives the sinner the opportunity to say, "I'm coming home, Lord." He gives the sinner an opportunity to say, "I want to be a child of God. The water is ready. Everything is ready." And if you feel that your hair will be disturbed, it's okay. We have hairdressers among us. And all things could be ready if you would just give your life to Christ in a relationship that binds us to become his son and to become so that he becomes our Lord. But he is able to step over into our future. See, he's not limited by time. He made the sun. He made the earth. And in stepping into a future, he knows exactly what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes. Do you? Well, we have a schedule. And after that schedule, well, you know, the guys sit back, they'll take back this mic, and I will sit down, and we'll probably sing a song, and we'll have a prayer. Right. Really? We have no clue. So the horse is prepared for battle, but victory belongs to the Lord. Oh, what a privilege it is to become a child of God. That is why Paul connects that relationship in verse 3 with verse number 16. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. You see, the relationship is based on the gospel. Why? The gospel is the power of God unto. Are you a child of God tonight? Do you have that relationship with him? It makes it different. God, for a moment, stepped into your space. Would you step into his? Would you be able to then sing, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels, they beckon me from heaven's open doors, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. There's so many who have built their whole lives upon the earth. They have put up fences and, you know, tall fences to lock this one out and lock that one out. And they've gone on to say, this is my air space. Not realizing that we did not come here to stay. God has prepared a place for us. He has a mansion, a robe, and a crown. Would you have it? Would you be willing to give your life to Christ? If you're not yet in Christ, here's how simply he puts it. That if you believe with all your heart, then you as well would have the capacity to repent, to confess the name of Christ without fear and without favor, and to be immersed into Christ, reflecting his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Then you too could sing that song with a little more pep in your step, a little more excitement. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Ah, what a joy it is to be a Christian, and just a Christian. Would you give your life to Christ? A few years ago, a friend of mine on the island of Jamaica, his name is Gladwin Kiddo. He's the director of the Jamaica School of Preaching. Loving gentleman. Wonderful Christian brother. And one day he was about to board a flight somewhere in the world he was going, but he met a young lady, maybe as pretty as you are. And she was unfaithful to God, and they studied the Bible before. And he told her, darling, I haven't seen you in worship. What's going on? She said, well, I have a trip to make, so I'll come back when I return to Jamaica. So Gladwin said, okay. But there was a storm close by, and they had to cancel the flight. And so they did. And so they kept all of them in the airport. Some were in a hotel nearby, and she was one of the ones that got the chance to stay in a hotel nearby. And next morning, she did not turn up for the flight. When they did the autopsy, she had 27 condoms filled with cocaine in her stomach. And during the night, one burst. She never returned to God. She stepped into his space without him. Would you give your life to Christ? So Moses stood in the presence of Pharaoh, and he asked him, well, when do you want me to ask God to remove these frogs? And Pharaoh said, tomorrow. He wanted one more night, one more night with the frogs. Would you dare take one more night in sin? Would you chance taking just one more night out of Christ? We're going to sing a song of encouragement. I really enjoy your leading singing. It's very strong, excellent, but he's not the source of your salvation. He selected really good songs. But would you select to make Jesus your Lord tonight? If we never meet again on this side of heaven, I'm hoping that one day we will meet again in glory. I don't know when David will have me back after tonight. I told him I'll be short, but you know, I'm preaching an hour now, so. But could you imagine what it would be if you don't remain faithful, or if I don't remain faithful? And the time comes when we say goodbye to the confines of this earth, and we wake up next day, and I don't see you. But if we'd never, ever meet again on this side of heaven, I'm looking forward to meeting you in glory. Would you give your life to Christ as together we stand and sing a song of encouragement?